Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to talk about things like high upside and low ceilings.
I would not take a quarterback there. Probably get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube.
Hello.
Hello, Internet. Hair, awful. Look tired, yes.
I'm just permanent hat now, dude. I'm so bald, I just go permanent hat.
It's okay.
I'm too ashamed. I might go, like, super tight buzz this weekend.
I'm all for it. Go as low as you can.
See how it feels. Try it out a little bit.
Well, I'm not a fan of this franchise. I have no emotional investment in it. I'm a fan of a guy that got drafted by the team, so I decided to support it by wearing an Atlanta-based team gear this morning.
Well, Kirk Cousins is my boy, so this is now technically my franchise.
We got a rivalry here.
I'm very offended this morning. How dare they do this to Kirk Cousins?
And you're wearing the team that couldn't beat the guy drafted at number 8. So it's like a double rivalry you've got going on the show here. Andy Bunker's going to join us here. Pacific Northwest legend, Husky legend. I text him jokingly.
Hey, Schultz, turn YouTube back on. Are we back on YouTube?
Are we on YouTube?
There we go. There we go.
I text Bunker, hell yeah, Penix. And he was like, I guess. Andy Bunker, 92.9 The Game. Andy and Randy over there in Atlanta joining us as the Falcons fans are digesting the Falcons taking Penix at number 8 after signing Kirkers to a 4-year, $180 million deal. Bunker, you've had time to think about it, sleep on it, wake up, listen to your morning show, which I did this morning to hear the reaction and to hear DeBoer. Where are you at on the Falcons taking Penix at 8?
I'm about the same place I was last night right after they did it, which was, wow, I can't believe they did that. I get it. I guess I think the context is so important though, and the context makes it so hard to justify. I mean, if the argument is simply, you know, quarterback play is the most important thing, period, bottom line, we had such bad quarterback play the last couple of years, the Falcons, this is them talking, not me. They're saying we had such bad quarterback play the last couple of years that we'll never find ourselves in that situation again and we'll fix it at all cost. Then okay, I guess, but there's so many variables and details that are not taken into account if that's your justification. That Falcons fans trying to digest it is the right way to put it. It's par for the course for the Falcons. Like, the Falcons are very good at doing stuff that's confusing. But only the Falcons could draft my favorite player and have me not be excited about it. Like, that's the only team that could do that is them. And so there, here we are.
I love, too, that I spent the last, like, 3 weeks and even yesterday just shouting from the mountaintops. Who cares how old these guys are? Why are we using this as a negative? Like, most of these guys don't last 5 years in the NFL. I don't care if you're 22 or 24. Can you play? And then he gets drafted to the one spot where it's like, oh, no, the age is kind of an issue here. Because if he sits for 3 years, he might not be till, like, he's not going to start till he's 27 or 28.
Dude, it literally is the only spot.
Literally, I think, the only one.
Top whatever that age matters.
Who cares if he's 24? What, have they said anything yet, Bunker? Have they come out with a press conference? Because that clip of the GM and the owner in the draft room has gone viral. Do we have any answers from them yet?
Yeah, I mean, they said that it's a move for the future, which is a wild thing to say for a team that just spent $112 million on quarterback and hasn't made the playoffs in 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the luxury of talking about the future when your present and past sucks. Like, it's asinine to me for that to be the – I mean, I know that's why they did it. Like, they did it because they don't want to have to go back into the wild when Kirk Cousins is no longer the starting quarterback in a couple of years and have an answer there. But, it's like, I mean, I guess, like, if that's the most important thing, is having a succession plan in 2027, then you nailed it. But to me, the most important thing probably would be – improving your roster for next year. They're the only team in the draft last night that didn't make their starting 22 better in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe Michael Penix is going to go on to be an incredible NFL quarterback, and I hope he is for a lot of different reasons. But the fact that we won't know for years is crazy in the modern NFL where everything is immediate. Also, this general manager just survived a head coach getting fired. Like, if this team is not good in the next couple of years, he won't even be here to see Michael Penix play. So it is wild. It is shocking.
Yeah, I told you yesterday I'm jealous. We're going to hopefully try something here. We just had a malfunction happen, and we're hoping that this little hang-up will get fixed in just a quick second. But, Schultzy, can Bunker hear me? I know we're on air, Purdue. He can hear me? Okay, so Bunker.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, we have this clicking noise that happens on our end. It's been happening, so we're hoping that this can be eliminated because I have a follow-up here. Okay, so I'm with you on the general manager. I can't believe he survived the firing. He's clearly made some questionable picks already, guys that are good names, but just value-wise, you kind of question it. I loved his playoff line. Like, hey, we're not made a position to draft again. You haven't made the playoffs in, what, 2017? I mean, how can you have that position when you haven't made the postseason in this long? My only rebuttal, my only thought on this, yes, they gave $100 million to Kirkers, and I know you're kind of understanding it to a point, and it doesn't help them immediately. Jordan Love was 25. Jordan Love started, really, his first go-around was this year. They move on from Rodgers. Here's Jordan Love, 24, now going to be, he's 25 now. My only thought is Kirkers plays, can't stay healthy, or just ages out very quickly. And yes, they eat a lot of money here, but there's Penix at the same age Jordan Love was discovered by the rest of the NFL. And if Penix is a stud, like, how much of this is a conversation, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that is possible. 4 years from now, if you have a couple good years with Kirk Cousins, and then he kind of bows out gracefully, which again, like, if Cousins is good the next couple of years, he's not that old. He's only 35. Like, quarterbacks at 37, 38 years old sign contract extensions. So, like, now you're saying no matter what Cousins does the next couple of years, you're putting an expiration date on him as your quarterback. So, okay, now hopefully he's great for a couple of years, but then you're going to move on from him anyway, and then hopefully Penix is great after that as well. The problem I have with the Packers analogy is Kirk Cousins isn't Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Like, Kirk Cousins is good. I mean, he's good, and I know they spent a bunch of money on him and all that stuff, but, like, he's not. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the NFL. They were a team that won 13 games that year leading into that draft. They were in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs every single year, and they had a roster that was proven that they could win with them. And again, they had Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team hadn't been in the playoffs in 6 years. Kirk Cousins has one playoff win in his life. And, like, for that to be like, well, yeah, we're just trying to do what they did. Like, the Falcons have made a habit of trying to emulate other successful franchises in the NFL. For a long time, it was the Patriots, and they almost did it, but then the Patriots beat them. Then they decided they wanted to go the route of like the Rams and go all in on the free agent quarterback, but they didn't get Deshaun Watson, which meant Matt Ryan had to leave. Then they decided they were going to be the Seahawks and start a third round draft pick quarterback and win with a cheap quarterback. But unfortunately, Desmond Ridder isn't good. And now they are going to be the Packers. So they're just sort of like taking turns being like, oh, that team's good. Let's just pretend to be them. The problem is they're not them. The Packers are the Packers, and they can do that kind of stuff because they have the track record of doing it. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. And what we have here is none of that. So,
yeah, to your point, I think as far as it goes comp-wise, neither believe in vaccines, and that's kind of about it with Cousins and Rodgers. So I guess you just got to hope for the best, and we'll see what happens, man. I think you're going to have a great show. I was listening to your morning show over there, and people are fired up. I listened to Kalen DeBoer talk about it, and, you know, no shocking development, vouching for his dude. I'm excited to see him if he does get playing time, just to see it with the weapons. See how it fits with the offense. He screams Atlanta to me, a lefty. He, that logo on the helmet, like everything about Penix, I love. So I'm rooting for him, but definitely a weird, wild fit. Having some technical issues here, Bunker. Thank you for hopping on with us and giving us your thoughts. And have a great show today, man. I know it's going to be a layup line, as you put it, just letting people rant and rave, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
The only thing that's weird is I'm literally sitting right now at the Falcons facility, and it's almost just like, They're so nice. Their PR staff is so nice. Like, they have us breakfast. Like, it's a really good, like, am I really going to sit here and just destroy them in their own house after what they did last night? But I think I have an obligation to professional.
I think so, you do. Thanks, Bunker.
Bye.
All right, there we go. Andy Bunker, 92.9 The Game. Apologies for some of the technical stuff. I have a working theory behind the scenes on this, and if you could just bear with us, I know it's not easy to hear. It's very difficult for us with the choppy stuff. I'm running with a theory on this that I cannot share publicly, but thank you to Andy Bunker for joining us on the Penix to Atlanta situation.
It's hilarious that he is a diehard Husky, and even he is like, God, what are we doing here? And after days and weeks of me arguing, who cares about age? Why is age a concern? It does not matter. He goes to the one place where he might have to sit for 3 years, at which point he would not be a starting quarterback until he's 27 or 28 years old.
I'm gonna tease the next segment this way. We'll get to Bo Nix, who went to Denver. We'll get to some other draft dealings. We got some audio to get to. We'll get to the spring game stuff and spring line at 8:30. I'm going to try to defend it. I'm going to see the other side of this thing and see if I can make it make any sense, because, man, was it wild what they did yesterday. So we'll come back with that. Penix going to Atlanta next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back in. With the eighth pick in the draft, the Atlanta Falcons. The draft was kind of just running down as usual.
Nothing interesting or exciting happened in the first seven picks. It was kind of chalk.
You know, nothing did happen, but I still thought 3, 4, and 5 staying put, not trading out in any way. Belichick talk about hating a prospect. Belichick's film breakdown of Drake May on McAfee, and maybe it's the Patriot thing.
Could be, yeah, who ended up drafting him. He wants to eviscerate the pick.
A lot of, you got to make that throw. They're not going to have bigger windows than that in the NFL. He was highlighting some important things. So we'll see what happens with Drake May. I know a lot of people are optimistic about him. Harrison goes to four. Mr. I don't want my jersey for sale. What an interesting cat that guy is.
Yes, that's a weird move. Everybody else had their jerseys available because they signed their players association agreement or whatever. He did not sign it, so you can't buy a Harrison jersey yet.
He doesn't work out. He doesn't talk. He operates different, but he's an amazing prospect. So Arizona goes there. Falcons shake up the draft. They take Michael Penix. After signing Kirkers to a four-year, $100 million deal, leaving everybody and their mom going, huh?
What are we doing here?
What?
That's the move.
I was stunned. I had an out loud, whoa!
It was the first one of the night. And when you had that pick go, then you kind of knew, all right, this could go a bunch of different directions now. Because all of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy's not the fourth quarterback taken. He's likely going to land in Minnesota, but then the whole run-on quarterback thing that I thought was going to happen ended up happening, which I wasn't sure at first when you didn't get those teams trading out of 4, 5, and 6. And then, hey, maybe these quarterbacks will be around for a bit. Maybe Bo does fall to the second round. Maybe Penix does slip, and then he goes 8, McCarthy goes, Bo goes, and it started that run-on QBs because you just weren't sure how long they were going to be around.
I think I can try to pretend to defend the Atlanta thing.
Okay. I mean,
wild pick.
It might end up working. Like, we all made fun of Jordan Love to the Packers for 3 years, dude. We all mocked that pick when it was made.
Yeah.
And now what's the narrative about Green Bay? They have another franchise quarterback.
Youngest team in the NFL that probably should have beat the 49ers, and everybody loves their quarterback. So I'll start there. Thank you. That's my first starting point. By the way, the track record of the Falcon GM, not amazing.
Not good.
I can't believe they kept him but fired the coach. It's a weird dynamic for sure.
Yes, it's like firing Terry Stotts and keeping Neil Olshey.
I'm playing devil's advocate here, okay? So let's start with the first one. Green Bay is actually the first team that came to my mind because we went through the same stuff, though, at a much different point of the draft. 8 is a different value point than
26. 26. Jordan Love is 26.
Okay. Jordan Love's first season was this year. Jordan Love is 25.
It was the 2020 NFL draft.
If you think Kirkers coming back from an Achilles injury at 36 is pretty risky, yes, why did you give him $100 million? I would argue the way the contract is structured, it's a weird payout from year one to year two, and I believe in year three there'd be a $30 million dead hit, cap hit. I look at it as, is Kirkers close to $50 million a year at this point in quarterback averages? Is he in that ballpark to you? Just of what the going rate is for quarterback?
Yeah.
We're creeping up there, right?
Yeah, you're in that ballpark.
Okay, let's just call it 50 for argument's sake. So you're paying $50 million a year. Kirkers in Atlanta is definitely a contender in the division. In fact, Vegas thinks they're the favorite. So let's say he succeeds. They win their crappy division. They're in the playoffs. I think every organization wants to be in the playoffs more so than not be in the playoffs.
They get in, see what happens.
Okay, so you've taken a playoff step with a veteran quarterback, but he's 36, he's going to be 37 next year, he's coming off an Achilles, and we all think this is just going to age gracefully. History says it doesn't. Is he a guarantee for 2 years? I can't make that guarantee. I know you love Kirkers, you can't make that guarantee.
No.
So if something is to happen, as crazy financially as it is, well, here comes Penix at 25, same age as Jordan Love, that everybody's in love with now. This idea that he's going to take 3 years to play, I just don't see that. Now, again, I cannot, it's crazy wild. What are you doing value-wise? But I think you can start there. He could be starting at 25. And then what are you going to say if you love Jordan Love at 25 starting? Are you going to be anti-Penix at 25 starting?
No, I mean, that's not that big of a deal to be 25 and starting.
Okay, here's the other part of this. Their offense was largely atrocious last year. It was an embarrassment. They never gave any of their primary weapons the ball enough. Their defense, it's got some holes, but it was veteran-laden, and, you know, it wasn't the worst group in the NFL. What side of the ball does their head coach?
It's a defensive guy.
Okay, so you hired a defensive guy, and you assume your defense is going to be good, right? And oh, by the way, when was the first defensive player drafted yesterday? 15.
15, yeah, Latu.
Latu to the Colts. If you would have taken a defensive player at 8, wouldn't that have also been a reach just based on how the draft went?
Yeah.
Okay, so the NFL said yesterday there's some good defensive players here, but we're not sure they exceed all the offensive guys. So they didn't want to reach for defense. The coach probably doesn't feel like he needs to reach for defense because he can coach it, he can develop, he can find it in later rounds. So you trust the defensive side if you trust the head coach. And Kirker's not being around for very long, but you've got weapons. It is a wild pick. It certainly is being questioned by everybody and their mom. But if he's starting in a year and a half, are we questioning it? And then what are we doing if he hits? What if he looks and plays every bit the level that a lot of us think he can?
What if he balls out in the preseason?
I don't know, man. It's certainly not a pick that I saw coming or anybody really talked about. I think the only one I saw mention it was Baldy. It was like, yeah. What if the Falcons are thinking about it? And, you know, that was kind of it. That's my only defense of it, is if he plays sooner, you eat some money. It's not great, but you want to win, which is why you ate some money.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, stays it, or elevates it, and becomes your franchise guy. I don't know how noisy it is in Atlanta if he shows that.
Yeah, the interesting stuff here, the only correction I'll make, I believe if he sits for 2 years, he would be 26 by the time he would start.
No, but my theory is, well, I guess he'd be 25 going on 26.
Well, so he turns 24 in like a week. So yeah. If he sits for his first 2 years in the NFL, Kirk Cousins plays those 2 years, I think he would technically be 26.
So but 25 going on 26, right. But Jordan Love is currently 25 going on 26 in his second year as a full-time starter.
Yes, we are splitting hairs at that point. The Packers comp is the main one that people point to. The only main differences there are that Jordan Love, when he came out, was a bit of a project, right? I don't think anybody thought he was going to play right away. Coming out of a smaller school, to your point that you brought up, he was later in the first round, not eighth overall. So it was like, hey, we're here at the end of the first round. Let's take a flyer on him. Let me ask you this, though, because this was the thought that I had. Everybody is applauding Green Bay now for that pick after making fun of them for 3 years for that pick when they couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs, and they had this first-round draft quarterback sitting on the bench waiting for Aaron Rodgers to leave, and we weren't sure when that was going to happen. If they had not drafted him, there's a handful of other players that are around there that ended up being really, like Patrick Queen was two picks later. T. Higgins was a couple of picks later.
That was the run on receivers that year.
Michael Pickman Jr. was a couple of years later. Justin Jefferson was a couple of picks before him.
But that was the year that like CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson had fallen. Yes.
Brandon Ayuk was the pick before Jordan Love, so maybe you could have moved up one spot more and gotten that wide receiver. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Green Bay feels good about where they're at right now. If I could tell you, you could have gotten one of these guys that I just mentioned, a stud linebacker, a good young wide receiver, and that would have been the missing ingredient for Green Bay. I'm not going to guarantee you a Super Bowl, but to say that you would have gotten over the hump and at least gotten to one, because let's not act like Green Bay wasn't close. They were in the NFC title game against Tampa, and they decided to kick a field goal down by 8. They had the playoff game against the 49ers, in which the Niners didn't score an offensive touchdown, and they lost the game at Lambeau in the divisional round. Like, they were close. They were knocking on the door. If there was one missing ingredient, would you rather have had that crack at a Super Bowl or now be set up with Jordan Love, even though we've only seen him play for 1 year?
Well, you're always going to take the Super Bowl, but again, to your original point, nothing's given in that league.
No, and no guarantee you win it.
He had Rodgers here had multiple home playoff shots.
The two that I just mentioned.
Including, by the way, his last game as a Packer was at home against a Lions team that everybody thought the Packers would beat that night. To get in the playoffs. So I'll play with your game and say you take the shot at a Super Bowl over what you hope this currently is.
Because there's no guarantee that Jordan Love gets there either. Everybody feels great about Jordan Love. We assume he's only going to get better, but that's not the way the NFL works every year. They're a young team. Yeah. They're going in the right direction.
But also, he had his chances, and his last season, he didn't have a 300-yard game. They lost at home to the Niners in snow, a California team. They lost, as you mentioned, to the Bucs and Tom Brady. So I don't know how logical or real that would have been.
It might not have been, but maybe a wide receiver or a linebacker was that missing piece, and they didn't have that missing piece because they took Jordan Love. So that's the weird dynamic now that Atlanta finds themselves in. The ironic part about all this, if they had not signed Kirk Cousins, let's say Kirk Cousins re-signs in Minnesota, they wanted to keep him, O'Connell wanted him, he re-signs there, and this was their draft pick, I would meet it with open, like, yes,
oh, yeah,
dude,
everybody
like,
would.
Young team, young weapons, new head coach, fresh start. Let's go get Michael Penix and see what you can do. It reminded me of hearing Joe Cronin act as if we can win while developing Shaden and like win now with Dame and develop Shaden at the same time. Mm. What do you want to do? Which route do you want to go? if you're paying a quarterback $90 million, $100 million guaranteed, they can get out of the deal, by the way, after 3 years. So after 2027, they can get out. So it's not technically a four-year deal. They can get out of it after three seasons. If that's going to be your move this offseason, knowing that you have the eighth overall pick, knowing that these quarterbacks are available, I just don't, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, like, from dude, there's a lot of things about it that don't make any sense.
Where else could you have spent that money outside of Kirk Cousins if you were going to draft a quarterback at eighth overall, if you liked Michael Penix, to fill out the roster at offensive line, at wide receiver, on deep, like wherever else you wanted to go?
Yeah.
You could have spent that money elsewhere. That's the only part of it. This might end up working for them because of all the concerns of Kirk Cousins. It just is idiocy either way. And that's whether you're defending Kirk Cousins or defending Michael Penix. If you want to defend the draft pick, then why the hell did you sign Kirk Cousins? If you want to bash the draft, like, you can go either way with
sure.
it. I just, you're going up two different roads and two different paths at the same time. When the world was their oyster with that pick, dude. There was only two offensive linemen that had gone. You could go get any of the other offensive linemen you want.
Yep.
Roma Dunze was on the board. You just gave him $100 million, the quarterback, $100 million.
I know.
Go get another weapon. To your point, there hadn't been a single defensive player drafted. You could take a pick. Take a pick. Which defensive player do you want? You go get anyone that you want. I would be livid if I were a Falcons fan. Not because I don't think Penix can be good. I am actually a big fan of Penix in the NFL.
Yes.
We've been over that a ton. It just doesn't make sense because I feel like he is NFL ready now. He's not a development project, and they're going to have to treat it like a development
project. And that's my only rebuttal of trying to defend what they did at eight is I don't know if they trust Kirker staying healthy.
Then why'd they give him $100 million?
I certainly understand
I don't blame
argument.
That opinion at all. Don't give a guy $100 million if you don't trust him.
Hey, I didn't shell out the contract. The other thing is defensively, if you're to trust Raheem Morris, and I think you have to, he just got hired, wouldn't he, if he loved a defensive player enough,
this is what I say, though.
That?
Like, I just don't know who is in control of all these drafts. I just don't know, man.
I told Schultze I think this is a Raheem Morris pick. I could be way wrong. It could be Fontenot who, you know, he's talked before the draft, and yesterday, last night, he said, basically, we don't think we'll be in a position to draft a quarterback going forward.
Yeah, we think we're going to be too good. We're going to draft at the end of the
so
first
we
round.
Want Kirkers now, and then think about the future. They haven't made the playoffs since 2017, which is a wild thing to say out loud.
No.
But if your coach is so defensive heavy, why would he have not taken a guy that he loves? If he loves somebody defensively, I think you allow him to make that pick. I'm almost wondering if Raheem Morris fell in love with Michael Penix having interviewed him.
To Dirt's point, I remember when the Blazers were going through the Dame negotiations, trying to find a trade partner, Miami not happening, and then Milwaukee. The discontent during that, I remember bringing up the fact that I didn't think the Blazers organization was equipped enough to really handle something of this magnitude, and I thought maybe Dame would pull a Kobe and want to come back. He did. The Blazers ended up screwing it up, and now we're banking on that organization to take Scoot Henderson and all of these young picks that we've got in assets to make a championship caliber team again. They bungled the Damian Lillard thing. How do you expect Portland to do that? And I see Atlanta in the same scenario here. Whether or not you want to defend either move, the point is seeds of discontent were sown so quickly last night with Kirk Cousins, not a month or two after you signed him. And if Raheem Morris, I read the quote, well, you know, we call them while the clock
while
was
we're
going,
on the clock, yeah.
and just with the nature
that
of quarterbacks
that was when they told him,
selection.
By the way.
That is bullshit, and you know it, Raheem. If you're going in looking at that guy, you say before the draft, you don't have to give him a call while the pick's getting made. You say, hey, you know what? This is our philosophy today, and it's obvious they didn't tell anyone about that because Fontenot's having to explain himself to owner Arthur Blank. There's really no actual reasoning that the general public, fans, Atlanta Falcons ownership understands as to why this pick was made. So I compare them to the Blazers, and you can say, hey, this might be the best pick, but can these dudes making this pick actually handle this organization correctly? I say nay.
I want to be fair, too. The internet did clip Arthur Blank and Fontenot in a conversation without any audible, and they said it looks like he's explaining himself. When they drafted Penix, Arthur Blank hugged him. So that clip didn't go as viral as the other clip because the other clip adds to the controversy and questioning of the decision to it. All of these are valid points. It is.
I mean, who the hell knows how it's going to look?
I know, but
Kirk Cousins might look like a 47-year-old dude who
can't
move.
But then you guaranteed $100 million to a backup
quarterback. And you're still stupid, but at least you have a secession plan, I mean, and maybe Penix is good, right?
That's
like, nobody knows how this is going
to
work
out. That's the other little, if I'm to play the other side of this, that's the only other little thing I'd add to it. I'm sorry. I understand there's a salary cap. I understand the dead cap money. I feel like teams every year are just telling us none of this matters. We find ways out. Like, they can get out after two, pay him $100 million, tell Kirkers thank you, good luck, go get your next $100 million deal from some team that you'll never win a playoff game with. And then it will be a $30 million dead cap hit if he's not there in year three. But if you have Penix and you like Michael Penix, just sum it up of saying, we're paying $30 million for a quarterback who's really productive. Again, not something I would have done. And it's easy for me as a non-Falcon, non-Atlanta radio host to sit here and try to play the other side of this. But I was listening to the fans last night on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. There were far more, I love this dude. Like, and in that city, let's just say it out, it's a black quarterback. Yeah. It resonates. It makes sense. And Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot, they love that guy.
He fits better than Kirk Cousins does in Atlanta.
In certain pockets. But if it hits, you won't get a lot of like, whoa, I was way wrong. No. But if it doesn't, I mean, certainly. And the other part of this, and we'll get to this, I think that pick kind of covered up what Denver did because Denver has almost no draft assets. They need a lot of hole. They have a lot of holes to plug to rebuild this thing properly. And they went with a quarterback that also had a late first, early second round grade at 12.
At 12.
I thought they would trade back and take him if they did, or just trade out and get a lot of stuff. But they went Bo Nix. So the Penix move almost covers up the Broncos reaching for Nix at 12, which to the Penix point might not matter if Bo Nix is Patrick Mahomes.
It could be. You never know. I thought the Atlanta thing stole the spotlight away from a pick that I hated for the Giants. We talked about that earlier. We don't need to get into it again. Bo going 12th overall and the Bills doing what they did in the trade market. Like the Atlanta pick was so controversial and so out of left field that it just sucked the life out of all other controversies from the night. And we're all left debating what the hell are the Falcons doing.
Belichick on McAfee's stream had a really interesting, like, because that was the team that was supposed to hire him, that Kraft told him no. And
people made that joke of, like, are we sure we don't want to hand the reins to Bill Belichick?
I want to give him a lot of credit, dude. It is easy to take the high road publicly, but there's a lot of people, especially now in America, that don't. He took the high road on New England. He took the high road on the Atlanta thing, and he just gave honest analysis of what he thought of players. I know feeling certain different ways about both those organizations.
Last thing I'll bring up on this, I know we're way long here. I saw a lot of it last night criticizing the Penix pick and the Bo pick for that point, and maybe McCarthy a little bit too, of saying like, well, do these teams realize they would have been there at the end of the first round? It's like, what are we talking? Like, there's no guarantee, first off, that would have happened. The Raiders wanted a quarterback. The Giants could have moved somewhere and gotten a quarterback. Like, there were other teams in those late 20s picks or early 20 picks that could have moved up, could have taken a quarterback. They were like, this notion that they would have been there, guaranteed, lock it, you could have got them with a second-round pick, that's just not a fact, man. Teams are desperate for quarterbacks, and if the Falcons didn't take Penix, the Vikings very well could have. If the Denver Broncos didn't take Bo Nix, maybe somebody else takes him at 17 or 18. Like, you have no clue what other teams are going to do.
James Palmer on Twitter at James Palmer TV, he reported the Seahawks, the Saints, and the Raiders.
Yes, we're all trying to get Penix.
All tried to get into the top 10 for Michael Penix. And he just tweeted 20 minutes ago, Falcons interviewed Penix at the Combine and his pro day. Atlanta also went to Washington to have a private workout on a windy 40-degree day. He had one of the better throwing sessions some there had ever seen. On the flight back, everyone in the organization fell in love with him.
That's where you need to communicate it with Kirk Cousins at that point. Yeah, you don't call him when you're on the clock. You just gave him $100 million. Show the guy a little bit of respect.
I mean, just an absolutely wild thing to do at number 8, given what you just did financially and where you're going right now. So just craziness ensuing in Atlanta. Bo Nix drafted Deshaun Payton. Some saying the next Patrick Mahomes. Maybe even Sean Payton himself. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Deal's telling us to calm down. I will not calm down. You calm down. I'm fired up, man. I love the NFL draft. I love giving takes about it. None of us know what the hell we're doing.
Wait, what are we calming down for?
It's just the draft, man. Calm down. No, not going to happen.
It was a great event.
I loved it, dude. I watched every second of that last night.
You know, I did too. I had it. Well, my cable was
being funky.
My internet sucked, so it cut in and out. But when it came back on, yeah, I just tuned into the rest of the draft.
It's been fun so far today, breaking it all down. I want to get to the Bo Nix pick. We have not talked about that yet.
We have some P1s that are Chiefs fans. There are some Chiefs media members that I follow. The hubris of them.
You win three Super Bowls, you get hubris.
No,
that's the way it works.
We would be the same way if we had the situation, but
you think you can do anything?
Yeah, like there's no chance Xavier Worthy doesn't hit. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of having Mahomes is even if he doesn't hit, somehow the next guy I've never heard of will be amazing because Mahomes is Mahomes.
That's the way it works, man. I had a feeling all night that there was going to be that run on quarterbacks, and then the first seven picks go, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. That's not going to happen. Falcons throw an absolute curveball. Penix goes eight, and then I think the other teams realized, okay, there's only two left that are borderline first-round picks. The Vikings make the move for J.J. McCarthy.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
And then Bo Nix, 12th overall. You guys, I was cooking dinner, but I was following your text back and forth as we were debating, would Bo Nix go 12th overall?
Yeah.
And he ended up going there. I didn't think he would. I didn't think Denver would make a move that early. I figured he was going to slip a little bit. That's what a lot of the intel said. But when you heard the name come across the wire, Bo Nix, 12th overall, Denver Broncos, what was the first thought that popped into your head?
I mean, similar to Penix, if you're just to go off value, it's a reach. It is. It's a reach. Now, if Nix is, and there's reporting that Peyton, who loved Patrick Mahomes, but was blindsided by the Chiefs trading up, and he had to draft Marshawn Lattimore in New Orleans.
Right.
He reportedly loved Nix as much as he loves Mahomes. Now, we have an audio clip that we'll get to with Peyton, but I mean, it's a reach. Every grade of that dude was late first, early second, and again, if he hits, none of that stuff matters, but initial reaction, it's a reach. I thought they would trade, get some stuff, a thing, and then just trade back to the 20s, and if they were take Nix, I wouldn't shock me.
Sure.
But it was taking him at 12 with such few draft assets and a team that, you know, needs some stuff. I just would have thought they did that, and he didn't care at all, and he took him at 12.
Schultz, yeah. It would have popped into your head.
That was literally the first thought. I mean, I texted as soon as Michael Penix Jr. got taken by the Falcons. I told Sprague, I'm like, nope, that means Bo Nix is literally, like, you can stamp his ticket to Denver. It's happening. And Sprague's like, to your point, like, oh, you know, Fuaga might be a good pick for Denver, which absolutely they would have been. Who's Bo Nix going to throw to? Who's he going to hand the ball off to? This is almost like a Joey Harrington situation in Denver. If you just lean all on him to make it happen for you, and Sean Payton has some tools to remake him, well, it's all good and well if he's talented, but who else do you have around you? So that scares me. It would have been a much better fit with LA at 19. I mean, I remember the first couple weeks of mock drafts coming out, Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos at 12 was like a done deal. And then we kind of saw workouts, combine happening, guys not throwing, but then some other things, Michael Penix's, you know, 40 speed coming out, his health maybe not as big of a question, so he jumps over Bo Nix. So the frustration is abound. I don't think Sean Payton's going to do well with him. I it would have been a much better situation to get an actual, like, true current day, you know, real now quarterback guy with that philosophy in 2024, as opposed to the 2010 philosophy Sean Payton. Yeah.
Cortland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims. Those are your receivers from last year.
There's worse receiver rooms in the NFL. I think the point that made it a little controversial was what you highlighted, and that is just their overall draft capital. They're still paying the Piper a little bit with the Russell Wilson deal. They only had three picks in the first four rounds, and this was one of them. And so the thought was, you trade back, you get a couple more assets, controllable rookie contracts, maybe that's the move, and maybe he's still there if you move back to, you know, say 20. But there just didn't end up being a lot of trades. So I don't know what offers were even there for them at 12. And that's what makes it difficult. When you go to 12 and then your next pick isn't until the third round, 76th overall, Knicks will be gone by that point. You don't really have a lot of picks to play with to move up to another spot to go get your quarterback. So
that's why I thought they'd trade back a little bit.
Sure. You're kind of in no man's land at that point, and I just don't know what offers were there for them on the table. You mentioned Sean Payton. He was on with McAfee on his draft show last night. I want to play for some of that for you coming up next. And also, I love the narrative of, we loved this great, we just couldn't get him in the aftermath of it. We do that a lot, and Sean Payton was a case of it. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam.
Who's stinking it up?
Woo! Do not go in there.
It's time for Who's Stinking It Up, a sports lowlight that's ripped from the headlines.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Brought to you by Three Mountains Plumbing. Schedule your appointment online at threemountainsplumbing.com.
Cavs bringing all the vets in.
Morris throws it away, sucks the other way, chops his steps.
Oh, my.
Windmills it down, squeezing the orange in Orlando.
Hey, look at Kevin Calabro calling a playoff game. Not for the Blazers, though. He's calling it for NBA TV Orlando hosting Cleveland. And the Magic win 121-83. The Cavs shot 23.5% from 339 from the field.
Let's play that fun game, stinking it up. When's the next time Kevin Calabro is going to call a Blazer playoff game? Will he call another Blazer playoff game?
2030.
What if he goes his whole career with the Blazers and doesn't call one? Well, he got a couple, I think, a few years ago. He called that Denver series,
yeah,
but
touche.
Might be another decade.
It's been a long time.
Cavs suck last night.
Who's stinking it up? The Cavs, brought to you by Three Mountains Plumbing. Make plumbing and electrical services delightful. Get your time back with the pros, tackle the projects you need completed. Schedule an appointment online. Three Mountains Plumbing, that's threemountainsplumbing.com.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour, man. A lot. We got fun with audio from fans reacting to their team's draft picks. There's one selection that got made that I slightly disagree with, that I know I'm swimming upstream on this opinion, and I would like to share that with you fine gentlemen in the final hour of the show.
I was hoping my defense of Penix, because I love Penix, I was hoping it'd be a quake take, and it's kind of aging like Devin. I just feel like there are more people actually out there that are like, yeah, it's a reach, but
I think it has to do with
if he hits, you're a genius.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the opinion of Kirk Cousins from the masses. Like, I'm on an island. I'm on Kirk Cousins' island, and I totally understand that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the take of, like, I mean, do we really trust Kirk Cousins to be good? He tore his Achilles. He's 36 years old.
Well, that's my Rodgers thing, is that we're acting like that's a done deal. He's going to be amazing this year.
Not a guarantee.
The thing that's awful is the communication and the handling of it all. It's just messy and weird. And
yes.
Yeah, it's tough to be rewarded as an organization when you don't handle things like that properly.
Yep, I got a couple thoughts on the Oregon spring game I want to get to in the final hour as well. Let's get to this. Sean Payton was on with Pat McAfee last night. If you didn't watch, McAfee's show was great. It was humorous. It was informative. Bill Belichick was delightful.
Mad Mel was my favorite.
Mad Mel, he's also the guy that does the Lou Holtz impression.
But I feel like you and I, if we really work on it, could do some Lou Holtz. His Mel Kiper.
It was good.
It was fantastic. It should have been the main broadcast.
It should have. And they ended up getting a lot of really good guests, including Sean Payton. So they asked Sean Payton, like, hey, dude, Bo Nix, 12th overall. Like, okay, well, how are we feeling? Here is Sean Payton on why they decided that was the move.
First on third down, first with fewest sacks, the most accurate passer in college football history. First at the end of the half, 2 minutes. First at the end of the game in 2 minutes, second in red zone, fewest sacks. So, number one, he's extremely smart. He handles the protections, and he's a tough sack. I mean, the ball comes out. And at times, you know, he can hang in a longer, maybe with a progression. But I think, aside from the mental then, that day and even his pro day, his arm strength was extremely impressive. He does throw it from a noisy pocket. You know, some quarterbacks need that full stride step. And we felt like you know, a lot of times he just took that little 2-inch pop step to get the ball out. And you get to a point, and I remember that saying this in our ownership meeting, and I said, we can't be the only ones seeing this.
So he felt like they were the only one, you know, we can't be the only one seeing this. There's the fear that somebody takes him and somebody else feels the way that they do. So that's why they made the move. Schefter had more reporting on this after the pick was taken. He said that the Broncos held a private workout with Nix the day after his pro day. The night before the workout, they sent him 3 packets of offensive play installation. He talked about that with McAfee as well. It's a very long clip, very long answer. And he said the next morning he walked into the classroom and Nix crushed it. They then took him from the classroom to the field, watched him throw for an hour. They convinced they had the quarterback that they wanted. Another part of this pick for them was friend of the station, Alex Forsyth, who was in Denver. And they had asked him when they were looking around Nix how they felt. And he raved about Nix and the player he is, the leader he is, the protection, handling, all that, the line of scrimmage stuff. So Forsyth sounds like he had a pretty big deal with Nix, ended up going number 12 overall. The chuckle factor that I had was the take that Sean Payton, this came out from Schefter, Sean Payton wanted and intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft when they held the 11th overall pick. He was ready to turn in the card, but before he could, the Chiefs traded up to the Bills' number 10 spot, took Mahomes one spot before Payton could get to him, leaving the Saints to draft Marshawn Lattimore, as you pointed out. He then added, Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he does Patrick Mahomes.
This is why you hire him. All right, I think he's a mixed situation for a lot of people. If you're a Bronco fan or a Saints fan, you're probably in love and you think this is going to be amazing. This is the fit that he's been waiting for. It wasn't Russell Wilson, evidently, which we thought that was the fit. They got rid of that pretty quickly.
Ate a lot of money.
He loves Bo Nix. If you're going to hire Sean Payton and basically let Sean Payton run the draft, because I don't think George Patton has any standing.
No.
That should, I can't believe he still has a job, to be honest with you, given what he's done. I think Sean Payton's running these things. If Sean Payton's that in love with him and you're going to mention the Mahomes thing, which I don't think it's coincidence that gets mentioned to Schefter. Okay. All right. I'm not as high on it, but I'm not Sean Payton. I don't know the nuances of football quite like Sean Payton, but this is why you hire him. You have to allow him to choose who he wants to choose and either go down with the ship doing it or show everybody that they're wrong. We can nitpick Bo all day. I think we could nitpick a lot of these quarterbacks, really. Some of the stuff he's echoing there, it's like, yeah, some of those stats are amazing. He also had an amazing offensive line last year. Mm-hmm. And I think omitting that of like first in this, first in that, yeah, well, it helps when all the hogs up front are amazing and JPJ is probably going to get drafted today in round 2 and you still got a bunch of studs that are coming back this season for Oregon. So I think there's a give and take. I said meh to Bo Nix yesterday when we did it, so that's why my position is my position. But we'll have to wait and see. Sean Payton could have the last laugh, but it by everybody's estimation, it seemed like a bit of a reach for a team that kind of needs more assets.
Yeah. You know, the end of Sean Payton's clip there talking about the speed at which Bo Nix can get rid of the ball in a very busy pocket, you know, compared to quarterbacks that really, you know, need a very, like 3 extra yards. They need a very set amount of time. Bo needs half a second, and he can still get the ball out with a lot of strength. So, yes, he had a lot of assets at Oregon, but there is one thing that I think is a positive for Bo going forward, and really with Sean or anybody, and the fact that Payton was able to identify this, and you hear him at the end saying, like, is anybody else in the NFL seeing this? Just how quickly you can get rid of the ball, that's such a huge deal. And going from college to the NFL, I think that's a factor that you look at, and we don't really hear a lot about for quarterbacks. The starters need to get rid of the ball like that, and Bo already has that ability. So Sean, in his opinion, has something to work with. So trying to look at the positive here, I'm not the hugest fan of the move in general, but there is some positive, and I do see Bo with that talent. And if Sean's able to identify that, well, there's a chance for success.
I mean, I think the argument for it is the comparisons to the quarterback that Sean Payton won with, right? I mean, it's not the biggest guy in the world. He can move around a little bit in the pocket. Breeze couldn't by the end of his career, but early in his career, he could move a little bit. And a lot of their strength was built on an underneath quick passing game. And so the knock on Knicks has been he's checked down Charlie. He doesn't throw the ball downfield as much as some of these other guys.
He said he studied their tape and he actually told his staff to eliminate
all of the underneath
all of the check down screen plays that they called at Oregon to see what he is like moving the ball down.
And
the
were blown away with the numbers that showed up because Knicks was good to every level of the field. He just didn't push the ball downfield as much as some of the other quarterbacks did. And Peyton, I think, viewed that as a strength. Like he wants that to be his passing game. He should. To your point, Schulte, on getting rid of the ball quickly, I think that's the biggest challenge for Knicks is can that translate from college to the NFL? At Oregon, he was basically an offensive coordinator on the field. He was changing protections. He could call whatever plays he wants. That's not the way that it works for every quarterback at that level. His understanding of where pressure's coming from, his understanding of what defense he's facing, and understanding quickly, all right, there's going to be a free rusher here. I know they're in cover two, so this slant's going to be open or this flat route's going to be open. And just moving the ball down the field and being safe and protecting the football, that was his biggest asset in college. Now, can it translate to the highest level? That's a $1 million question that nobody knows the answer to. I think if you were hoping for Knicks to be successful in the NFL, the Rams was the best destination possible.
There was scuttle. They were trying to move up, but they didn't end up moving, and then they took Verse from Florida State.
They did, and there was a report they wanted to get in the top 10, but not for a quarterback, so it was
maybe a Rome?
Maybe a wide receiver, you know, maybe an offensive lineman. I don't know where they were going, but that was probably the best fit. I think if you're looking for fit number two, because Knicks and Minnesota were never really connected, this was the second best fit. I mean, it's Sean Payton who's won with a quarterback with a similar skill set, accurate, doesn't push the ball downfield a ton. That was kind of Drew Brees. So we'll see how it plays out. Peyton says he's the next Patrick Mahomes. Good luck living up to that.
It's certainly an expectation. I think that's the other thing is it's one thing to get drafted around two. It kind of changes the pressure and the viewpoint, right?
Like the expectations are totally different.
Penix at 8, Knicks at 12. This is the minute Penix can play, you better be ready. And Knicks is going to come in and maybe compete and get the starting gig day one because their quarterback room sucks.
You want Zach Wilson playing for you?
And this applies to everybody. This is not Bo Nix specific. Muddy pockets in the NFL, much different than what college is.
Yep.
The equivalent of Tez Johnson and Troy Franklin and what the system at or Evan Stewart talked about this. He came to Oregon because he saw the stats and was like, holy crap, look at what they run. I don't know if they have a target on their roster currently that's going to be as open as Tez Johnson was getting at some points.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I kind of wonder is the defense. Again, every quarterback has this part. Yeah, they saw different coverages in college. They can identify things on the whiteboards. These defensive coordinators in the NFL and the speed in which these players operate, you haven't seen this. You can tell me you know what a cover two is, or, oh, they're in this coverage, but they're actually doing this. They're going to break into this. It's great that you can identify that stuff. And again, this goes for everybody.
Yes, then you're Sam Darnold on the sideline saying, I'm seeing ghosts out there.
Yeah.
Change quickly.
Yeah, and if his offensive line, man, I don't know how you feel about that offensive line. Not Russ great. Was holding the ball too much last year and taking bad sacks.
Not great.
Learn to get rid of the football. Don't find yourself holding on to that thing because you're going to get your ass kicked. So, and Sean Payton, just in general, I think is interesting. I think he's one of these legendary coaches that has a lot on the resume. But, man, that Russell Wilson thing was so awful. And to whiff that bad after wanting Russ and Russ wanting you, you know, there's a little bit of keeping an eye on what's happening with Sean Payton in Denver for some people.
He's staking his future to this pick. I mean, they can buy it. It's the Walmart family. They can buy out of that contract whenever they want. I know they gave him a ton of money, but this is his livelihood. So we'll see if it works out for him. It is going to be funny that Herbert and Knicks in the same division. We're going to get duck-on-duck crime twice a year in the AFC West for the foreseeable future. Lots to get to draft-related in the final hour. I got some fun with audio. Fans reacting. One of the funniest comments I've ever heard from a parent, just not fully understanding the question. Some thoughts on the Oregon spring game. We'll get you set for the weekend in sports. Loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.